This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for June 30th through July 7th, 2006. The attacks on Gaza intensifies as 17 are killed on Thursday alone. Israel fails to arrest three Palestinian ministers, and Arab League Secretary General pledges $50 million to the Palestinian government. These stories and more, stay tuned.
We'll start the week off with some highlights from the Palestinian Center for Human Rights weekly report on Israeli attacks against Palestinians for June 29th to July 5th. During the reported period, the Israeli military killed 10 Palestinians and wounded 79, including 21 children. The military fired 82 missiles and hundreds of artillery shells at the Gaza Strip, destroying the Palestinian Ministry of Interior, the office of the Palestinian Prime Minister, three main bridges, three roads, several educational institutions, and the entire electrical network of the city of Rafah. The military also occupied Gaza International Airport outside of Rafah, as well as the northern Gaza Strip. The military also blocked European third-party observers from reaching their jobs at Rafah International Crossing Point, the only passageway for Palestinians living in Gaza to travel internationally. Over 3,000 Palestinians are now trapped in Egypt, unable to return to their families. The border was opened for only 2 hours. Salim Abu Safaya is the head of the Crossing Borders Authority in Gaza.
The Israelis approved the opening of Karni Crossing Terminal after international pressure. In fact, the crossing was open for 2 hours on Sunday. Today, the terminal is completely closed. So I cannot say that the crossing is actually reopened, because the Israelis did that only to satisfy the international community. It is as if by opening the crossing for 2 hours each month, Israelis is doing Palestinians a favor.
We'll hear more from Gaza throughout the show, but now we go to the anti-wall actions in the West Bank. Stay with us.
Today, after the Friday prayer, the people of Beilin, joined by Basque National Musical Group and international Israeli activists, started their weekly rally to protest the ongoing construction of the illegal annexation wall on their lands. 100 people started the march, which was launched in front of the mosque and ended at the gate in front of the wall. The Basque musical group, in traditional ceremony attire and formation, kept the beat for the demonstration by marching with large bells that they wore on their lower backs. They were chased away by rubber bullets and sound bombs by the soldiers, but returned to perform their art and pass through the line of soldiers that were holding the people back. The demonstration turned violent when soldiers tried to arrest nonviolent protester Ayed Bernat. Other Palestinians and one international came to his aid to try to prevent his arrest and were caught between the jeeps and the barbed wire as soldiers beat them. They grabbed the hands of the soldiers to stop the beatings and were successful in de-escalating the situation. 4 Palestinians and one international peace activist were wounded as a result of the army violence. In last week's demo, the protesters wore orange clothes reminiscent of those worn by prisoners on death row. Israeli soldiers attacked the demonstrators with tear gas and concussion grenades. A fire broke out when these bombs landed on dry grass. A Palestinian youth and a French peace activist were injured. 2 Israeli peace activists were detained and 2 residents of the village were injured when Israel conducted a reprisal invasion following the protest.
Following Beilin's lead, nearly 100 Palestinians, Israelis, and international peace activists protested the impending construction of the annexation wall in Al-Khadr, west of the city of Bethlehem, Friday, in what has become a weekly nonviolent demonstration against the confiscation of Palestinian land for the Israeli wall. Soldiers fired rubber bullets into the air and pushed protesters as they chanted and waved Palestinian flags in front of the bypass road that connects illegal Israeli settlements to Jerusalem. It was the first time since the weekly demonstration began that the protesters reached the settler road, slowing traffic. For the first time, Israeli police joined the Israeli army in blocking the protesters from the road. 20 Israeli and 30 internationals joined the protest this week, which is almost double the number from the week before. No injuries were reported. The villagers and peace activists began protesting 3 weeks ago against the confiscation of more than 20,000 dunams of prime agricultural land that will be used to build the wall. Demolition orders were already handed out to 3 families and 30 street vendors in Al-Khadr last month.
At least 40 Israeli military vehicles invaded the West Bank cities of Ramallah and Al-Bireh, intending but ultimately failing to arrest 3 Palestinian legislators. Dr. Aziz Diwik, chair of the Palestinian Legislative Council, Council Secretary Dr. Mahmoud Al-Ramya, and Hamas-affiliated parliament member Ahmed Mubarak. Troops searched their homes, but none of them were home at the time. Salah al-Bardawil, Hamas spokesperson,
The Israeli government has repeatedly affirmed, even before the capture of its soldier, that it wants to topple this government. It worked on this issue throughout the economic and political siege, and the outside pressure is just an attempt to end this case that came out of the Palestinian democracy.
Israel has detained at least 24 Palestinian lawmakers and 9 ministers in the past week as part of its offensive against the Palestinian people.
The Israeli Air Force renewed airstrikes targeting Palestinians in northern Gaza Friday morning, hours after the heaviest day of bombardment in the Gaza Strip in the past 4 years. At least 23 Palestinians were killed in the first 24 hours of the military operation. However, the number reached 30 and is expected to increase as Israel is going on with attacks against the Gaza Strip. 40 Palestinians, including resistance fighters, civilians, and children, have been killed and over 100 wounded since the start of the military Operation Summer Rain, which began on June 26. Israeli Army top officials, including Army Chief of Staff Dan Halutz, said Palestinians will not stop firing Qassams after this operation is over, but they will pay a very high price for every Qassam fired at Israel. The Israeli Security Cabinet held an urgent meeting this Wednesday after a homemade Palestinian shell exploded in a schoolyard in Ashkelon Tuesday. Il-Qassam Brigade, the armed wing of Hamas, claimed responsibility. No injuries were reported. The Israeli Security Cabinet rejected a deal proposed by the Palestinian resistance groups to release 1,000 Palestinian women and children who sit in Israeli jails in exchange for the release of the captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit, who was captured Sunday, June 25th, in a military operation at a military post in the southern Gaza Strip. Abu Obaida, spokesperson of Il-Qassam Brigade, the armed wing of Hamas, held Israel responsible for the fate of the soldier.
This is a warning to the Zionist enemy. If they do not respond to our demands, things will be very complicated. The ball is in their court now. If they really care about the life of their soldier, they should respond positively to our demands. It seems that the Zionist enemy has not learned from previous experiences of when we captured Israeli soldiers in the past.
The resistance groups confirm that the soldier is still alive and that he has received medical treatment for the wounds he sustained in the capture. The father of the captured Israeli soldier made a plea to his government asking for the release of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for the release of his son. Noam Shalit made his first public statement by voicing support for the prisoner swap. Instead, the cabinet agreed to expand operations in Gaza in accordance with the internal security minister Avi Deichter's Sunday threat to turn the northern cities of Beit Hanun and Beit Lahia into ghost towns. Khalil al-Sheikh, a resident of Beit Lahia, witnessed the attack there.
The invasion started Thursday at dawn. Warplanes bombed the site for Al-Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas. During the day, the invasion intensified. The tanks that were driving through residential areas received backup by Apache, which fired heavy machine guns and missiles at residents' homes and gatherings.
Medical sources reported several deaths and dozens of injuries Thursday, as well as hundreds of patients who have come in to be treated for shock, including many children. Dr. Mohammed Al-Shami, spokesperson of Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, reports on two who were killed in the airstrike in Gaza and warns against possible shortages of medical supplies.
Eight were brought to the hospital at 1 p.m. Two were already dead and were severely mutilated due to the Israeli army shells. The other six were moderately wounded. If this invasion continues, there will be an instability in the services due to the lack of fuel, medical supplies, and equipment.
A newly formed United Nations human rights body condemned Israeli attacks on civilians. The Council adopted a resolution demanding that Israel halt its attacks and dispatched an urgent fact-finding mission. Meanwhile, the Popular Resistance Committee claimed responsibility for killing an Israeli soldier in Beit Lahia in northern Gaza Strip. The group said a Palestinian sniper shot the soldier in the head while the soldier was on top of his tank.
On Tuesday, Arab League Secretary General Ahmed Moussa pledged $50 million U.S. dollars to the cash-strapped Palestinian Authority. The money will be transferred Monday and will be controlled by the Palestinian President's office. This will be the first funding the Palestinian government has received since Hamas claimed a landslide victory in the January elections. Following the elections, the United States and the European Union cut off all aid to Palestine until Hamas disarms and recognizes Israel. They also declared any bank that transferred funds to the PA to be supporting a terrorist government. Israeli ports also withheld millions of dollars earned on Palestinian exports. Due to the aid freeze, over 165,000 Palestinian government workers who support 90% of the economy have not been paid in 5 months. Since then, Palestinians have been struggling with shortages of food, fuel, and medical supplies.
In the West Bank, the Israeli army escalated its extrajudicial killings by targeting Palestinian resistance fighters. Three were killed in Jericho, Jenin, and Nablus. Tamir Kandil, 21, a leader of the Al-Aqsa Brigade, the armed wing of Fatah, bled to death from gunshot wounds during a three-hour clash in Askar refugee camp in Nablus Friday at dawn. The army barred an ambulance crew from reaching him. 16-year-old Ahmed Aid was fatally shot and 11 others were injured when Israeli troops invaded Jenin Thursday evening. The incident occurred as the Israeli army recovered a special Israeli assassination unit that failed to kill targeted Al-Aqsa Brigade leaders Zakaria al-Zubidi and Mahmoud al-Saidi at a wake in Jenin. The Israeli army also killed Mahmoud Shaheen from Ain al-Saltan refugee camp Wednesday near the West Bank city of Jericho, when a number of Israeli military vehicles stormed the city. Eyewitnesses said that Israeli soldiers shot Shaheen in the head and heart without warning or regard.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website, www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, this is
Stacey Miller
and Maya Williams-Carpenter.